Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, the associate editor of Charisma Magazine, and today I'm excited to bring you guys another interview as part of our global church series we're doing here on the Charisma News Podcast. We've been looking at how the Holy Spirit is moving across national boundaries, doing incredible things for the kingdom in many different nations around the world. And today we're going to talk about a country that is often in the news for reasons both good and often we hear a lot of bad news about the country. Today we're talking about Russia and what it's like to be a Christian following the leading of the Holy Spirit in Russia. And to help us with that conversation, I've invited Natasha Shedrivaya onto the podcast today. So she has a really exciting ministry, Calvary Fellowship of Churches and Village Gospel Harvest, based in Russia. And so we're going to talk all about that, her own story, her own call to evangelism, after this message from our sponsors.
Did you know that you can explore Liberty University's 7,000-acre campus from home with a virtual 360-degree tour? Discover their world-class academic, athletic, and dining facilities from a distance and get all of your questions answered through a one-on-one video session with an admissions team member. Don't put your dreams on hold. Text CHARISMA to the number 49596. Again, text CHARISMA to the number 49596.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome joining me over Zoom today. It is Natasha Shedrivaya. Calling us all the way from Russia. So, Natasha, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're really glad to have you here. For some of our listeners who may not be aware of you or your ministry, you're the leader of Village Gospel Harvest and also the president of Calvary Fellowship of Churches in mm-hmm. Russia. So it's an honor to talk to you today. And where I'd like to start I start with most of my guests is, can you just briefly share your testimony?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was born in the family of three generations of communists. I was an atheist, like many of the Russians, growing up in the communist system. And, all the schools and even kindergartens, they were so, we were brainwashed with the ideology. And I remember when I was a student at the university studying English and Spanish, in all the libraries of all the universities, in the encyclopedias next to Jesus Christ, the definition was a mythical figure. So, we grew up, I never seen a Bible in my life. And the last Christian was my great grandfather, who was sent to Siberia by Stalin's, the communists, because he had a Bible. And so then the three generations were atheists. And then, God is so faithful, because when, our prayers are so important for our children and for our grandchildren, because God is faithful to the seed. And so I became the first Christian, after those three generations of communists and atheists, and got born again in 1990. A year later, I was already translating for American missionaries that came to start Bible schools and churches all across the former Soviet Union. And it was such an important time for me, because, knowing English and not having any Christian literature in Russia, it really helped me to learn and read all the books, Christian books, that missionaries brought. And then I was an interpreter traveling all across the former Soviet Union with the ministers that came to Russia from states, and we, where they were helping us to start churches. And it was a great move in 1991, 92. Hunger was so amazing. You could preach the gospel in the Red Square, and police and everybody was listening, and they were asking for their New Testaments, and we were giving away New Testaments. Things are different now, but I believe that there's that it's a different season for the church also, because there is a church in Russia now, and there are Christians, and there is a work that we do all across our nation, the nationals, you know. But I'm so grateful to God for American brothers and sisters who, you know, were chosen by God to come to the former Soviet Union when the communism fell. And, you know, for me, because my father was a political officer for 28 years teaching communist ideology to the soldiers in the Soviet army. For me, Americans were our ideological enemies. But when I became a Christian, you know, seeing what God was doing, he brought American Christians to the former Soviet Union with the gospel, with the Christian literature, with the Bibles. So America have been such a blessing to the world and to Russia in particular. So since that time, in 1996, I was ordained as a minister. A few years later, I was elected by pastors to be a president of the Calvary Fellowship of Churches. And in 1998, also, we began to work with the American known evangelist T.L. Osborne. He is with the Lord now, and his daughter, LaDonna. And it was through the Osbornes I've heard that statistic. I don't know where he got it from, but he said during one of the conferences in Russia that there are 36,000 villages in Russia that have never heard the gospel. And, you know, it was a seed in my heart, because since that time, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking and talking to God, and I was telling God, God, what are you going to do about those 36,000 villages? Because I could relate to those people. I grew up as an atheist. I didn't know God exists. I've never seen Bible in my life. I thought we were just like animals. You know, we just come to this earth and then we die and then there is no life afterwards. And so I felt such a compassion for those people in the villages. And then one day, as I was asking God, what is he going to do about those villages? He challenged me and he said, what are you going to do about those villages? Because the only way I can go and reveal myself to those people is through you. And then I start thinking, how can I do that? And by that time, we had churches all across Russia, and some churches were in rural areas. Not in the villages, but like kind of like in a lot little towns. And God gave an idea. I need to go to those churches and start talking to people about if they have any relatives in the villages around. And this is practically was our strategy and is still our strategy, how to start evangelism in the villages. It's through the relatives who live in villages, the relatives of the believers. And then the next thing that happened was we wanted to train national people, local people, to reach their own villages in the region. And we wanted to help them. And one of the American missionaries' family who left the field and went back to States, they left in Moscow in the office there. Old van that they, you know, they used when they lived in Moscow. And this van was standing in the parking lot and rusting. And so God gave an idea. Why don't you sew this van into this particular little church in the town in one of the regions of Russia and give it to the local evangelist? His name was Anatoly. He was former alcoholic who was known in his area for being just a violent alcoholic. And then he got born again. And he was so radical. He was such a radical evangelist that he would take his wife and two of his boys and put them in his old broken car and try to visit the villages in the area around. And this is what he would do. He would come to the village. His children would go run through the village and knock on the doors of the people and invite them to watch a movie. And, you know, nothing cultural, no cultural events are taking place in those remote areas. So to watch a movie, that was a big event. So people would come. with their chairs outside. And under the tree, Anatoly would take the bed sheet, spread it and tie it between the trees, have this old, old cassettes with the Jesus film, 2.5 hours, and would ask some local people to use their electricity, connect this movie machine, and then he would show them this movie. And then after the movie was over, Anatoly would share his testimony. I was an alcoholic, I was a drunkard, and Jesus set me free. And people would get saved. And he traveled to 25 villages. So what happened was, when God gave me this idea to sow this van, I thought Anatoly is the best soil to sow this van. And so Anatoly got our first van. Since that time, we were able to provide around 50 vans, snowmobiles, to our missionaries in the areas. And what happens then after the village is evangelized, our main goal is to start a home Bible study, to talk a local babushka into opening her home, and to start, just a home Bible study. When they do that, we can bring in village gospel library. And library consists of the Bibles, of New Testaments, and the books by T.L. Osborne, Daisy Osborne, his daughter LaDonna Osborne, translated into Russian. And so then people could grow in the Lord and lay the foundation of Christianity. And of course, the church in the region that we work with, they oversee that work in the villages. So, basically, this is what Village Gospel Harvest is all about.
Fantastic. So going out and essentially being a missionary within your own country to these villages that have never heard about Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. And how many, you said before that what you had heard was that there were 36,000 or 3,600?
That have never heard the gospel. Yes.
Do you know what those numbers are like now?
I tell you that our missionaries evangelized thousands of villages. Not every village has the church. Most of the villages, they have some of them have 5 people, Bible study. Some villages have, the churches up to 20, 30, 40, because the villages are really small. Mm-hmm. Some villages are larger. So if you are thinking about like a regular church in Western understanding, with the building and with the praise and worship team, most of our churches are not like that. So usually the more villages are evangelized than the churches are there. Some people from other villages who were accepted Jesus come for the Sunday service to another village. Like 5 people from 5 or 4 villages would come and to another village for a Sunday school or a Sunday church service. I would say that probably 2,500 villages were evangelized for sure, and have some form of groups or Bible studies. And for example, we have a missionary in central part of Russia, a man, Vladimir Shagov. It's a Rzhev region, very Russian Orthodox area, which makes it really hard and challenging to evangelize. He usually, during summers, gets started with a bicycle, getting on his bicycle, having his backpack, asking, we would send him flyers, New Testaments, and he, in 2 years, he visited around 200 villages, preaching the gospel, giving away New Testaments, and the challenges to work with churches in the area, because not all churches want to, to follow up. You know, because the churches belong in Russia, everything is so centralized. And according to the law, every church needs to be registered under a certain union, I guess, for the government to control. And so in some regions, it's a challenging for the church, for our missionaries to make local churches that belong to different unions to, to follow up. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm, it's hard, you know, to say that there are full, the churches in Western understanding.
Right.
There are usually small home group studies. Or another example, one of the most successful works, mission works that we have is above the polar circle area in Taimyr Peninsula. You can look on the map, Taimyr, Taimyr Peninsula. And the capital of that peninsula is the town of Dudinka. It's kind of like administrative center. But most of their territory is tundra. And so our church in Dudinka has the satellite church made of the local people. There are five ethnic groups that populate Taimyr: Nenets, Anets, Dolgans and Ganasans, and Evenkis. And Nenets is the largest population, and they, you know, most of them, they live in tundra and they do deer breeding. And so it's even hard to say, to start a church in our Western understanding, mm-hmm. there, because here we have evangelists, husband and wife, and their two sons. They have the largest deer herd in Taimyr Peninsula, 2,000 and around 2,000 and a half deer heads, as they say.
Wow.
And they're known. You know, this is only God can do, because he would choose, God chose the most influential local people. I mean, everybody knows them, Yulia and Anatoly. And because they, you know, kind of are most successful and prosperous. But, it took us, our missionaries, because usually I go there once a year to encourage and do some, just gathering and seminars and encourage leaders. And I tell you, it took us almost 10 years to really see the fruit, because our goal is to raise nationals, from those five ethnic groups, because there are a lot of Russians there also, because there are a lot of factories up north and mines and ore mines, et cetera, et cetera. So, and our goal is, of course, to reach with the gospel this ethnic groups, and they don't trust Russians. It's kind of like similar to Indians in America, in reservations, because those nationalities were so abused by Russians. Mm. And the Russian businessmen would come and they would buy deer meat, deer fur, deer antlers. And in exchange, they would not pay them a lot of money, but give them an alcohol. So there is a lot of alcoholism there. Violence. You know, there is one village, Patapova. The average lifespan is 27 years, because all of them live by fishing, hunting, deer breeding. All of them have rifles, knives, and so a lot of alcoholism. They would get drunk and then start fighting, and there is such hopelessness. So that's why our goal is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ there. So it took us almost 10 years to win their trust. They would accept Jesus, and then you know, they would go back to their old lifestyle, and then they would come again to the, you know, to our churches, and then again they would go back to alcoholism, etc. And then they would test us and our pastors and our missionaries, because they don't really, you know, it takes time to win trust. So anyway, now we have national Nenets church in that. This is what's happening, because in Tundra it's impossible to start a church because they move all the time through Tundra. But the church is started in Dudinka by Nenets women. This is what happens. Everyone from Tundra comes to Dudinka because it's administrative center. Their children are sent to boarding school, kind of like it's a boarding school in Dudinka. So they from all over Tundra, they bring their children in September, because this is when the school year starts. They leave them in the boarding school, and then they stay in Dudinka and go to and in the school till May. And parents come from time to time to visit their children and do some, you know, get some papers if they need some documents to get, you know, whatever they need with administration. But when they come to Dudinka, this is where our church leaders, they catch them and they share the gospel with them and they establish contacts with them. And then we bought snowmobiles to our missionaries, Russian missionaries who went to Tundra, who traveled to Tundra to their settlements. And then they preach the gospel in the villages and the settlements. And then today we have local Nenets family evangelists. The one that I, you know, shared with you about, you know, that they have the largest deer herd in Tundra, Yulia and Anatoly. They are very bold in preaching the gospel. And then we have also a national church in Dudinka that catches every national who comes from Tundra to visit their children in Dudinka or do some paperwork with administration. And they preach the gospel and they equip them with the Bibles and the village gospel library. And then they go back to Tundra, converted, and believing in Jesus. And we see a lot of miracles there, you know, healing, because the life is tough. You know, the last time I was in Dudinka, at the end of January this year, I met a lady. I saw her for the first time. She came to Dudinka to do her some kind of paperwork. And so she was invited by our national church there to my seminars. Her name was Luba. And I tell you, they look, how do I say, I want to carefully choose the word, they look primitive, but they are smartest, precious people. She came to the seminar, and in the beginning, she wouldn't even raise her head. She would just look down. It seems like she doesn't even understand what I'm talking about. All of them speak Russian, by the way. Nenets, there a lot of people know their own language, but Evenki, Dolganasani, Dolgani, just a small percentage that speaks their own language, all of them speak Russian. So anyway, Luba, as I was preaching, of course, I preach the message of redemption, because I think it should be the, you know, this is where our message and our teachings can be tested. Because if it's just the doctrines, those people will not even understand. You know, but once you preach the truth, which has Jesus in the center, the revelation of God, they all understand. And their heart responds. So this Luba was looking down the first day, and to me, you know, voices, thousands of voices would tell me, you know, she doesn't understand a thing. You know, they don't know what you are talking about. But it's so important to continue revealing Jesus, revealing God to people. You know, we should, like T.L. Osborne would say, we need to advertise God. We need to advertise Jesus, because every human heart will respond to God's love. And so the next day in the morning, Luba began to raise her head and to look at me. In the afternoon, Luba began to smile. In the evening, we had questions and answers and tea, and Luba told me her story. She gave birth to 12 children in tundra, in that hut, I mean, in the middle of the nowhere, you know, with the minus 50 temperature Celsius. 12 children, six of them died because of the conditions. Only six of her children alive. And she said, her husband was very, how do you say, they had a small deer herd, and husband died, was a violent man, beating her, etc. Now, one of her oldest sons is in charge of that kind of like a business. And so she said that last year she had an accident. As they were moving from one place to another, moving with a deer herd from one area in tundra to another, she would sit in on the sleds that are hooked to the snowmobile. And when the snowmobile hit some kind of ice bump, she fell off the sleds and hit that ice with her head. And then the deers ran over her. And it was a miracle that she was still alive. And she said, my body is in constant pain. And now I am in constant pain, she said. And we prayed for her. And you know, God loves her so much. God loves those people so much. She was immediately healed. The pain was gone immediately. And so when, you know, something like this happens, you feel how God loves those people. Mm-hmm. And how it's important to be very sensitive. You know, evangelism in those areas really is different from, how to say, the standard image of how evangelists should be done. It's impossible to do. Because this is what God told me last year. You know, before the new year, he mm-hmm. gave me a word for this, 2020. And he said that I will bless evangelism Jesus style. Jesus could sit at the well and wait for one person and minister to the soul, resurrect a soul of that person. And I can relate to that because we minister to those people in those small areas, small villages, where it's even impossible to have the mass evangelism. I really believe, even with what is going on now all over the world with this pandemic, it really makes understanding of the mega church format to rethink, because it's impossible now to have any kind. I mean, in Russia, we cannot gather. I don't know in America if you can have services. We cannot. You know, if you can have this video services, but in order to have that still contact with the people, even Zoom, you cannot go on the Zoom in those remote areas. You know, what they did, our churches in the small villages, they don't have, some of them have a bad connection. And then, I mean, no connection in tundra. So still people gather, two or three are gathered in my name. They still gather two or three, four people together, praying, asking God for protection, and he protects them. So I really believe that what is going on now is God is changing the paradigm of the church and challenging the church today to focus again on a quality evangelism ministry to a soul of a person, because there is so much hurting, so many hurting people, even within the church. I mean, we all know all the right answers. We know the doctrines. I mean, we've been stuffed with all that Christian theology and teachings. Yet the needs of people, even Christians, emotional needs, can be not met. You know, just to know the right answers for all the Christians' beliefs, it doesn't really bring, how do you say, it doesn't make your life vibrant with that life that Jesus provided for us. And I think one of the indicators of where the church is the presence of young people. You know, what I notice here in Russia is that the generation of young people who are growing in the world, most of them grew up in the broken families with a lot of abuse. They despise the political system here. They see all the, you know, injustices, and et cetera. They've been to religious temples. They realize there are no answers there. And when they come to our churches, I mean, they are so hurting on the inside. They come and they, without words, they can sense if we are real, if we are really loving, and if we really know God, not just the doctrines. They don't want the doctrines. They're not going to stay in the church if they just listen to us speaking our religious language, and they don't even understand this language. And by the way, last year when I was in the States, I noticed, because I minister in American churches, and I noticed that some churches really grow old. Mm-hmm. Not many young people. And I tell you, this is an indicator for the church to stop and start thinking, because the presence of a young people, because the church has a future if it has a young generation on fire for God.
Well, I think that's
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think that that's so interesting from that perspective, because in so many Western countries like the United States and in a lot of Europe, there is this sort of like, oh, if you go back like to our grandparents' generation, for instance, it's like, oh, it was very Christian. There's all those sorts of values there. And so it's like a lot of the young people are starting to turn away from that and leave that behind, and it's getting older. But it sounds like what you're describing is that in Russia, like the grandparents' generation was communist and atheist, right, like you were describing, and that the young generation is discovering and latching onto Christianity and Jesus, yes, as an answer to society's problems.
Absolutely. And I tell you, I believe that this is what God is challenging the church all over the world with, is about being authentic and show real love for people. Because our ministry is people. Our ministry is not the building. Our ministry is not the programs. Our ministry is people like that woman, Luba, that came to do absolutely, you know, things are not related with the, she didn't even know that she will meet Jesus this trip to Dudinka. And here she was touched by us, you know, God touched her heart through us. I think this is a challenge to the church in Russia, the church in America, the church in Europe, because young people are hurting. They grow up in, you know, there are young people who grow up in the Christian families, you know, preachers' children, etc. You know, but, you know, the most important thing is, do they really know God? Do they really know Jesus? But I know that they know all the Bible stories. That's for sure. You know, I know they know all the right answers. They know even the religious language, the terminology. I mean, you know, we quit thinking. You know, T.L. Osborne would say, you know, when we quit thinking, this is where the religion starts. You know, we say words, cliches. We understand. My generation, we understand. But the young people don't understand. Those who grew up in the street, they come and they check us out and they see if we are real. And once they see that we are real, We don't pretend to be, how to say, perfect. We are the same outside the church and in the church, and we are sincere in our love for them. They will come to our churches and they will bring their friends. And this is at least what I see in our churches and in my church outside Moscow, in a smallest town. One girl, 16-year-old, who was abused and sexually abused and was just, you know, so much emotional and physical abuse, came to check us out, tested us, and challenged us, and saw how we love her, don't give up with her, saw us outside the church, in the church. She brought all around 15 other guys, girls, and boys from broken families who would be in prison now, but they know Jesus now. And I tell you, what we do with this kind of youth that came from the street, discovered Jesus in our church, we send them to set on fire the children of believers, the children of believers, because, you know, children who grew up in the church, sometimes they just know all the stories, Bible stories, but they are not on fire because they don't know, they're not necessarily experienced the reality of God in their lives. So we send those, you know, that kind of youth that came from streets and discovered Jesus, and he became everything for them. And for most of them, the church is the first family where they are loved and cared for and challenged to grow and they are growing and they are leaders. I believe that this is what God is really challenging the church all over the world today. We need to shake off our religious, you know, language, religious facade, and discover evangelism the way Jesus did it, discover the message that, not the doctrines, but the message that has, that reveals God. You know, you cannot really give people what you don't have. If you know religion, you'll give religion to them. But they don't want that. The young generation, I mean, this is an indicator. If the young generation doesn't came to our church and they didn't stay, we need to change something. And so we need to rethink and change, switch to God's way of doing things. And I believe it's a very important time, very good time. You know, that even the mega church format, we need to rethink that. I love big churches, great, wonderful, but then the home group, home groups work must be so well functioning in order to meet the needs of individuals. Individual is the focus of God's ministry, of Jesus's ministry. You know, why do we love Bible? I love Bible because of those stories, of those encounters of Jesus and Zacchaeus, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, Jesus and that blind man. We love Bible because of those stories about those individuals, how great God would come down and sit next to the woman caught in the act of adultery and defend her and give her a new beginning. I mean, we discover God when we watch him dealing with individuals. And, you know, the vision to reach the villages, it really helps me, helps us to stay in a spiritual shape and not become religious, because people in the villages, they don't understand religious language and religious terminology. So we really continue staying in shape, kind of, you know, making our language not religious, get rid of all the religious cliches, making our message very simple and advertise Jesus.
That makes a lot of sense. One more question I wanted to ask, and then I'll let you go. What are some of the biggest needs and problems facing Christians in Russia today? Like, how can we be praying for you and be aware of the problems that Russian believers are facing?
Okay, you see, I need to be very careful because You know, Russia, everything is so controlled by the government. And I need to be very careful because every few years, there is always a new law. And this new law that is issued is always about restricting what can the, you know, evangelical church can do in Russia. You know, the last law that was adopted, Yaravaya law, it's after the name of a lady that's supposed to be kind of like the initiator, but, you know, in reality, her name is used. But this law made it almost impossible for us to do any street evangelism. You know, how in the world I'm supposed to evangelize within the church's building if they don't even let us register the building and build the building? I mean, it's just so naturally compared to what freedom you have in America, it just seems just so hard. But at the same time, like I said, you know, it really, like Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and be meek as a dove. This law forces us to always be tuned to God's voice, to be open to his ideas, to do things, you know, in the way that, you know, that we should continue, you know, we cannot just, you know, there are some situations where you just obey God because, and this is what we do. And many things that we do are contrary to what the law, this particular law says. But, you know, this is a time where when we do what the apostles in the, you know, in the first years of that, when the church was birthed, it's better to obey God. And so God opens for us nursing homes, God opens for us orphanages, God opens for us, gives us ideas how to penetrate the world, you know, start some kind of a fellowship outside the church, and then through the relationship, share the gospel and people start coming to the church. I mean, God has so many ideas. And you know, Jesus came on the earth in a very tough time. You know, Roman occupation, religious control, and still God was doing fulfilling his plan and was successful. And so the same in Russia. If you want to pray for Russia, pray for the churches to continue doing God's work and fulfilling his will in spite of all the laws that are issued by our government.
Understood. Well, we can be sure to be praying for you guys on that. And thank you so much for your faithful service and witness for the kingdom there. Natasha, I think that's if people want to find out more about you and your ministry, do you have a website people can go to?
www.villageharvest.info.
Fantastic. So if people want to find out more, they can go there to check that out. We'll just direct people there. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. And would you mind closing us out with a prayer?
Yes. Father, I thank you for this greatest honor that you gave us to live in this time on the earth and to be your witnesses and have that honor to preach the gospel in Russia, all over the world. And I pray for the Christians all over the world, in America and in Russia, during this time to stop and ask you, what do you want us to do? And the way you want us to do. Great commission, evangelism, so that the souls would be saved, that the kingdom of God would be established through us, through your church, on both continents. Be glorified through American Christians, through American church, and be glorified through Russian church. And may the word that American and Russian Christians preach go with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Natasha Shedrivaya on the Charisma News Podcast here on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Taylor Berglund, and thanks for joining us.